I bet you guys thought I was going to do the silent episode there with the long pause, but I guess we'll talk today. Good morning, everybody. We're back again. It's Wednesday. Hopefully the algorithm picks this up. And guess what, guys? I sent a nice tweet from the BV handle to Elon, and he obliged. We are not going to have to reboot the space today. So get excited for this Wednesday's morning edition of Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, number 232. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us. It's going to be a great day. Going to jump on a bunch of topics, and hopefully you'll learn something. You'll be inspired, and you'll add to your stack. But let's look at the time chain today. It's Wednesday, July 30th, 2025. And we are at Bitcoin block height number 907,821. Oh, wow. It just popped up. A new block was found by one of our miners. Looks like Spiderpool mined that one. And the Bitcoin price is sitting just above $117,500, which means you can still pick up about 850 sats for each US dollar. And you should probably smash buy right now. No, not financial advice, but it looks like we got some people joining us on stage. If you guys are interested in coming up and joining the conversation, please do hit that microphone button. Love to have you up. If you can't talk but would like to help us out, please drop a comment in the comment section by hitting that purple pill. If you're enjoying the show, please do repost the space. It helps us get our reach out there and, yeah, hopefully get more people on this journey of Bitcoin. A couple of announcements before we jump into topics, and I greet all of our speakers tomorrow, hoping to have, I had to beg yesterday, but Neil Flesher and I have been chatting a little bit yesterday. I've been continuing to read his book, Modern Chains. He doesn't really care for me to push his book, but it is pretty awesome so far. And so I think you guys should check it out. But he's more interested in getting the word out, and totally humble dude. So hopefully we'll have him on tomorrow for much of the show. And we'll talk about some of the themes and topics from his book. And then, as I mentioned yesterday, hopefully we can have Robert, Infra, some of you know him as, back to talk about the macro outlook and all this stuff, on Thursday or Friday, regarding the as we see the outcome of the Fed minutes and that stuff today. So anyway, that's my intro. And yeah, let's say good morning. I think Texas Toast is up here. BF,
I'm here.
Hey, buddy. And then AC, we got Mike Hobart. Yeah, let's say hi to Texas first.
Just watering the plants. It's going to be a wonderful day.
Don't piss into the wind, my friend. BFP, how are you doing?
Doing well. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good now that you're back, but I don't hear any birds or matrix birds. We missed you, buddy. I'm glad you were able to join us. You got a couple days off.
Yeah, I was camping with the fam, and the birds aren't out this morning. I think it's because it's overcast.
Maybe they know a tsunami is coming, and I don't mean to joke about that, but I don't know. Nature has a crazy way of understanding these things. Mike, good morning, sir. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys. I'm feeling pretty good. I haven't been joining lately just because my son's been having us on a crazy schedule. So I appreciate you guys letting me up and hanging out and I don't know if you guys can hear it, but I've got the birds this morning because we had a pretty wild storm come through last night. So I'm enjoying it here for you, BFP.
Nice. And finally, hopefully we have AC with us this morning. He comes up and does support the stage, but let's see if his mic is working. I got the crickets ready if your mic's not working, AC.
Well, no, I think we're good this morning. Morning, guys. Another beautiful Bitcoin day, so looking forward to it.
Very good. The stage, guys, is not set. If you would like to join us, please do hit that microphone button. Would love to have you up, but we are going to kick around some topics this morning. And if you have something you want to talk about, again, you can hit that microphone button. Otherwise, throw us a comment or snide remark in the comments box, and we will try to address it. First topic of the day that I thought we'd bring up, mentioned it yesterday, and I think Monday too, but the White House is set to release its crypto policy report today from the working group, for the president. And, some people think that this will be a big deal. Most of us think it'll be a nothing burger, but did want to go around the panel real quick and just see, has your sentiment changed from yesterday? Or do you think that, this is going to be something important, or maybe there's a particular topic that you think will come out of it. I'll throw it over to you guys. Not everybody all at once. And I do.
I hear rumors that the, reserve quantity or the audit similar to the gold audit is not going to be released. I don't know if that's true or where that came from, but something that I heard the rumblings of this morning. So I don't know if y'all have heard anything more about that.
Well, it's circulating that there's nothing even like there's no talk of the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve at all in what the White House is going to talk about today. So I guess if you guys actually thought this was going to be an event, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying paper Bitcoin summer. I'm saying stablecoin summer. That's what this is. Sideways Bitcoin and stablecoin summer all day
and,
long.
And Trump day. Coin. Don't forget Trump coin.
Yeah, Melania too. Let's throw her in. other thoughts on this one? We can move on. It doesn't have to be a long extended thing, but I think it's worth mentioning because a lot of people are paying attention, even though they probably shouldn't be.
No, I think I don't mean to step on everybody, but Bob, I think you're actually, you're putting out probably more signal than maybe you're intending or even realize, in my opinion, is like, that's the real focus, in my opinion. Joe's down in the audience. He can, he's more than happy to challenge me on this, but I think the biggest thing about the crypto asset stuff that the White House is putting out is going to be signaling for the future of stable coins. Like that's the biggest power that, the commercial banking and just like the federal government in the White House in the U.S. has right now is like that's paving the path forward for a lot of power aggregation. It's not just for the government, but for like U.S. dollar dominance. So like Bitcoin's cool and they're going to use it how they need in order to prop that stuff up and use it for marketing and everything. But their focus is definitely the stablecoin stuff.
Yeah, I try to say this stuff. I'm not trying to entertain you, but maybe I am. I think we have a little bit of brevity in the space, but also try to keep it serious, help people understand what's going on. So, appreciate you pointing that out. And guys, we do have 70 people in the space, and so would love it if you guys would repost, have a few reposts. But let's get the word out there. I did throw Joe an invite. I know sometimes he's busy and just enjoys listening, so we'll leave him at peace if he doesn't have anything to say. But maybe you guys can come up with something controversial to get him up here. we'll play the TC game with Joe. Next
talk
thing.
Talk about M2 supply and Bitcoin's price action, and that'll get Joe up here.
Exactly. Yes. Perfect. I did want to cover this. I think it's interesting. And this may be something Joe wants to chime in on because it's a legal thing. But I'm putting it under the privacy category. The word is that Samurai Wallet, probably as we speak, the co-founders are expected to change their plea to guilty, which I think a lot of people are wondering about. And so anyone want to care to opine? I have some thoughts on it, but what do you guys think?
Let's hear your thoughts, Bob. Like, I'm curious. I don't know, like, I don't mean to dominate the stage, but what changed that caused these guys to change their plea to guilty? Like, that's what I want to know.
Yeah, it could be a lot of things. You know, the Tornado Cash case is going on right now, and that's kind of the precursor to what, you know, we might see with some of the arguments that'll happen with the Samurai case. I think that's coming up later this year. And maybe they're getting, you know, the prosecutors are getting some pressure, but also maybe they're seeing that the case in the Tornado Cash case isn't going exactly the way they, you know, want it to. And if they don't believe that they have a likelihood of a conviction, maybe it would make sense for them to offer these guys basically a deal in exchange for pleading, changing their plea to guilty. Just some thoughts. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Samurai guys are really worried and scared. But I don't know. That's kind of the way I see it. I'd be curious to hear if you guys, if anybody has any other thoughts. If not, that's totally cool. We have plenty to talk about today. But yeah, I don't know that that's necessarily a win for privacy, but it may not be as bad as everybody's looking at it on the surface. So, yeah, I guess any other thoughts on that one?
Bob, do you, because I was just thinking of this while you were talking. I literally had not thought about this until like the last 30 seconds or the last minute. But could they be, do you think they could be like trying to set up a precedent with these guys as far as like trying to like set a precedent for mixers before the stablecoin stuff is put out so that there isn't some sort of like legal gray area of like, well, if you can send Bitcoin through mixers, then why can't I send my Tether or my USDC through a mixer or something like that? You know, like, is that, could that be what's going on? Because I mean, I could see it, but that seems very like low hanging fruit to me. I can't imagine that that's like the signal there.
Yeah, I wonder what the sentencing will be, right? Like, there's obviously, like, when you get a guilty plea and the judge accepts that, then there's usually repercussions. But if this is done as part of a negotiation with the prosecutors and the Southern District of New York, then I think that'll be telling. To your point, you know, it's really hard to say. Maybe the White House has been pressuring the prosecutors to get rid of this. I don't know. In some ways, it could pertain to mixing. It could pertain to stablecoins. I mean, I think this is something people should be paying attention to, whether you're a privacy maximalist or not. And sorry, we're getting the stage rearranged here a little bit, guys. So I'm trying to gather my thoughts, but also get you guys back up here. Looks like we have maybe a couple of hands. So let's go with Jimmy first.
Yeah, good morning. On this subject, one thing I saw that I don't know if you guys have seen this, but the text messages that went on between the employees of that company are what condemned them. They basically have evidence of them conspiring and helping people to conspire against taxation and governments. And so this is the thing, is it's not just about their tech. If they just created the tech and that was it, they wouldn't be in this problem. That's why they're not going after everybody. These guys literally had conversations that showed the government that they were conspiring and helping people to conspire against the law. And that's what they're in trouble for. And that's why they're probably going to plead guilty.
All right. Well, that's the answer then. Wow. All right. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, that's the extra information a lot of people don't see. But in the very beginning, when they arrested him, it was over that. And that's why they held him. And it was because they literally have a conversation with these guys, how to use it, how to do it, and why to do it. And they should never have done this. One thing to just offer the tech. It's another one to encourage people and literally assist them in avoiding taxation and the law. So that's what this is about.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that, you know, especially the comments by some of the samurai guys publicly on X, kind of taunting, authorities, probably is along that same line, right? So I think in the case, with, Tornado Cash, you're seeing, these private conversations that they were able to, bring out in court. But I think the damning evidence maybe that Samurai Wallet is looking at is, similar in that the speech that they were using is public. Like you have it, right? It's all out there. And so yeah, maybe you're right, Jimmy. Maybe it's worse than we think. So we'll see. But BP, what's up, sir?
Yeah, also 92% of federal cases, they don't go to court. It's 92% are plea bargain, 6% get dropped, 2% go to trial. So they're just negotiating. And like Jimmy said, that's why they took the guilty plea, because they're going to get found guilty. All the courts are just a show. It's pretty much, they figure out what's going to happen, then they put on the show if they actually go to trial. So it's negotiating.
Yeah.
And most likely they're agreeing to it. They get probation and don't go to jail. They, you know, they've got them. There's no doubt. And when you read their conversations, like, guys, you busted yourself. And this is why I think they're just going to say, okay, and they're probably, the government's going to let them off the hook with the probation and just don't ever do it again, hopefully. But I don't believe it's just the tech. It was their conversations that got them in trouble.
Yeah, and you wonder, going forward, as more mixing services pop up, will lessons be learned? Or will we get new laws on the books eventually that actually spell this stuff out? I know the Clarity Act has some things in it, but nothing in particular regarding this software, freedom of software. So yeah, I do think you're leading us down the probable path, Jimmy. So appreciate that perspective. Do we want to continue on this topic, guys, or do we want to move on to some more topics about maybe paper Bitcoin summer? We've kind of already touched on it. We can hop back if you guys have other things to say on that one, but just wanted to bring this up, that Strategy IPO'd Stretch yesterday, and it is the largest IPO of the year. What does that say about things? And, you know, I don't want to spend too much time on people being frightened about these companies acquiring massive amounts of Bitcoin in their treasuries. But I think we do have to bring it up. It's notable. What do you guys think about Stretch and it being the largest IPO of the year?
I think it's just the news cycle. It's Wall Street cycle. And, my theory is, it's going to come down to proof of work at the end, where prove to me you have this much Bitcoin or else you don't have this much Bitcoin. And that's maybe 5 years out, but it's part of the cycle. Wall Street was eventually going to come on no matter how it happened.
Yeah, I don't know. These guys are highly regulated. Just coming from the banking industry, and, you know, seeing how regulators approach these things, I think on the public company side, anytime you're dealing with securities, you're not going to have to worry, I don't think, about these companies not actually having the Bitcoin. Maybe privately held companies, but most of them aren't coming out and saying anything about their actual holdings. So go ahead, BFP, if you want to push back.
Remember Enron and WorldCom and all those. So it's when the people are in cahoots, where it's, you know, the accounting firms and big government, because government's not going to want Bitcoin to take over the hegemony of currencies. And that's just going to happen naturally. So it's going to get ugly.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on this one, guys? I do think, I'll maintain the position that everything that these companies are saying they're buying, if they're publicly traded, they are actually acquiring. And maybe they're not holding on to it. They're trusting third parties for custody, but yeah, they're definitely holding on to that much Bitcoin. Anybody else?
Bob, I'm staying largely away from paying attention to like what MicroStrategy is doing in a lot of these products. But like, I'm curious, like, is this another, like, just asking your opinion and everybody else that's up on stage here, is this another just wing of MicroStrategy that is also accumulating even more Bitcoin on top of like their like Strife and Strike and everything else that they've got?
My understanding is it's just a debt structure instrument. So essentially they're agreeing to pay yield on essentially debt, and it sits at a different place in order of preference or liquidation preference. So what that means.
Okay. So they're all similar. Like, I didn't mean to cut you off either. I apologize. So they're all like just different strategies and mechanisms that are siloed in different like compartments to be able to basically contribute to the same goal of, distributing and democratizing debt so they can accumulate more Bitcoin. Right.
That's exactly right. And my understanding is Strife is at the top of the stack for liquidation preference, then it's Stretch.
So Risk.
Correct. Yep. And then okay. Stretch would be next, which is this new one. And then I think it's, yeah, it's Strike after that and then Stride after that. And so you kind of have different risk tolerances and different mechanisms for each. But the interesting thing to me is you've kind of seen these new IPOs. Like Stretch cannibalized the others, right? So Strife has kind of held firm because it's at the top of the stack. And now Stretch, it looks like, has pulled a lot of capital away from Stride and Strike. Sorry, there's a lot of, I just want to make sure I get those right. So at some point.
It's actually kind of clever to me. Cause like they're creating multiple tiered financial products to basically be able to capitalize on price action regardless of where they are in like the kind of liquidity cycle, right? Like money's just going to flow in between all these products. It also kind of reminds me of The Big Short with the different like double A and triple A and double B and triple B rated like bonds and everything. So this is pretty interesting to watch.
It is. And I think different people are going to approach this in different ways, right? Like this is kind of a nice institutional product. Some of these can be, they're attacking different pools of capital that are out there and meeting the risk tolerance of these institutions. Where I think people go astray is thinking that they can buy into these things as retail investors and come out way ahead. You know, again, it may have certain use cases. I think the argument's been made by some Bitcoiners that especially people in their retiring years where they'd be maybe 60 plus might use these for income as opposed to U.S. Treasury bonds, because you're going to get a yield that's double or triple what you're getting in U.S. Treasury bonds. And we know the performance of those have been pretty poor overall. Not just from a coupon, you know, interest rate, but also because of, you know, just the fluctuations in the market, the bond yields have been going higher. And so if you need to cash in, you're actually out of the money, on a lot of these bonds that you purchase. Now, if you're holding to maturity and you're just good with getting the interest rate, then fine. But, that's kind of how people have to look at these, where you would hold them and not really care about the underlying price as long as you, don't need, you know, the principal, right? Pulling it out and selling it for something else. As long as you're not trading it and you're just good with saying, hey, I'm putting this capital in at this price for this product, knowing that I'm going to just hold it and get the interest over the long term. That's what I'm in it for. and I don't need that underlying principle, I can hold on to this for the long term and be fine. And so again, not giving financial advice, but you know, for most of the people in this room, probably not the best allocation of capital. Again, your situation may be different, and maybe you should go to bitcoinveterans.org if you have more questions. You can plug in your information and we can get you some more information and resources. I do see on one device, Bitcoin for Precedence has a hand up, but maybe it was Jimmy, and Jimmy, I just lost off the stage. So whoever wants to go there.
Yeah, I've said it before. My daughter has an MSTR. I noticed last leg up. One, like, teen.
Hey, BFP, we're kind of losing you there. Let's get
never mind
connection. And then we're... Funny part is we could hear never mind, but the rest of it, I really wanted to hear what you were saying. I heard your daughter, never mind. That's what I heard. You want to give it a try one more time?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Beautiful. Another Verizon.
And he's gone.
Dude, I was holding back laughing, but yeah, that's figures.
Anybody else while we fill the space here? Anybody else have top? Yeah, we have a new stage entrance, Hodling Love. What's up?
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Great space so far. I just wanted to add a couple to the Stretch project or Stretch product that Sailor and the strategy teams put together. There really is a great deal of money out there that really just needs to be parked. And one little component about that particular product that makes moving this parked cash or CDs or treasury bonds, investments over to Stretch and with strategy is the fact that they're paying out that dividend on a monthly interval. It is an annual 10%, but a monthly dividend pay. And for some people, you know, that could be, that's a creative instrument for them to be able to produce monthly cash flow on a reliable, you know, kind of monthly budget interval. So fixed income investments for especially retirees or somebody who's just looking for kind of that steady flow, that could be very valuable for them. And there's a lot of money sitting in that zone. It also reminds me a little bit of stable coins, you know, Tether, USDC. The whole idea behind that is producing a digital dollar, one for one backed, that will hold its value, introducing all these people in the world to the US dollar that are unbanked or don't have access to the US dollar. I wonder how much of that money, you know, sitting there just as cash, USDC or Tether on various bank accounts, can find its way some way, somehow to the US stock market and trade into this product, because effectively what Sailor's trying to do is keep this debt instrument at a nominal value of 100 consistently. So the share price will be targeted at $100. He has a variety of instruments like the ATM and, you know, other ways of pushing that price of that Stretch debt instrument back to the target value of a dollar. If it drops below a dollar tonight or to a, excuse me, drops below $100 to 99 or goes above $100 to 101. So it really is, a very unique product in that the idea here is not to put your money into this one and hope that it gets up to 100, goes from $100 to $110 and gains 10%. The idea here is if I put $100,000 in to this product, I'll get 100 shares and, 10,000 shares, and I'll keep those, 1,000 shares, I'll keep those shares just as at a straight flat nominal, you know, $100 value, but that dividend of 10% paid out on a monthly interval rolls in. So there's a little bit more nuance to this product compared to Stride, Strive, Strike, or MSTR. There's a little bit of a difference there, and it's important for everybody to kind of do your homework. I kind of butchered it a little bit saying $1 versus $100, but the target price for that share of Stretch is $100. And in Sailor's presentation on this is if it dips below that, they're going to bring it right back out. If it goes above that amount, $101 is going to dip back. So they put this band or this range on that stock price that they're going to target. And, so effectively, he's built out a very unique instrument that can tap into a lot of money that otherwise, maybe stuck in CDs, maybe stuck in bonds, maybe stuck in digital currencies, or may just be cash. And, so people are looking for that reliant, put the money in, take the money out, same nominal value, but with the return that Stretch offers. So just going to get a little bit more color to that. That's all, Bob. And, thanks for holding the space today.
Yeah. Hey, man, thanks for coming up. Really valuable insights. I do think I saw, and I could be wrong on this, 9% was the Stretch, target. But nevertheless, I think you bring up a good point that it's shorter duration, monthly income. And again, some of these may be, good for you, right? I just want to be careful in the space to, not just blanket statement that these are, the best thing. Most people, including myself, need to continue just stacking sats. As we get up and on any of these other things, like buying MicroStrategy, treasury companies, others, we just need to be careful. We do have BFP back, and we'll go to Texas after BFP.
I should have good reception in my zone. So I was just saying that MSTR.
It's just not better, buddy. I'm so disappointed. No, it's like the rubber banding is happening. I'm so sorry.
I'll be back.
Let's go to Texas and BFP. Try again.
Yeah, I was just going to say you might be the perfect demographic for this product because you're so old. But yeah, we're good.
Exactly. I am just looking to deploy capital. BFP and I are looking to buy all of these fixed income products. Let's see. Other thoughts on this? We can move on. Otherwise, maybe an adjacent, and I'll try to get BFP up here one more time. But maybe an adjacent topic, and we can kick it over to this, is the SEC did approve in-kind redemptions for Bitcoin ETFs, and we had Darkside on at the end of the episode yesterday saying there's no way they're going to let that happen, and yet here we are. So love Darkside on this one. Looks like he's wrong, which if you listen to yesterday's episode, does if his theory plays true, this could be something somewhat catastrophic in the future for the markets because of Bitcoin's fixed supply. And we can kind of go over that a little bit. But BFP, I'm going to let you try again.
Yeah. Is it good now?
Amazing. What happened? No, go ahead.
I got rid of – I just reconnected and shut everything off. But anyway, I don't think MSTR is going to track Bitcoin like it used to. Especially with all these products. It hasn't in the last leg up from one, up to like the 117, 120 something range. It's, went up to 450 and then went all the way back to 400. So I think these other products are more appetizing to people and MSTR is just getting left behind.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are looking at holding MSTR for a long period of time, just because of the treasury that they hold and the prospect of Bitcoin's price appreciation over time. But yeah, there's people chasing, right? And this is what happens with the shitcoiners. A lot of people say, Bitcoin's just, going sideways and it's not doing anything. And then some of these other assets, if you want to call them that, start to pop a little bit. Maybe you have a 3 to 5% gain when Bitcoin's down a little bit or up just slightly, and people chase. And what ends up happening is you end up with less sats. I can tell you from experience, back in 16 and 17, I played that game. And while it wasn't too detrimental at the time in terms of dollars to what I was doing, now if you measure it in Bitcoin terms, it looks egregious. Like, I think, you know, people would just be sick. And every day I wake up with that chip on my shoulder because of that. But no, I'm just warning you guys, watch out for chasing. If you're chasing something, if you see something that's already gone up a lot compared to what you're holding, like, you guys should have some conviction with what you're holding with Bitcoin. I'm not saying that you should hold your MSTR stock forever. I'm just saying if it's not worth holding for the long term, you probably shouldn't have gotten it in the first place. But we got Jimmy back, and welcome back, sir. What's happening?
Oh, I've got a little truck problem. We're trying to get the water truck going, and it wouldn't start. And so just one of those episodes, typical ranch stuff. But it's going, and the guy's off to get the water. So I came up earlier when I had my hand up. It was about the fact that these vehicles that are coming out, it's definitely the year of FAFO for the Wall Street to find out. But I was going to tell you, I've had four people yesterday, a two-hour conversation with the fourth one, and these are TradFi investors that own MicroStrategies, and all of them are now cold storage. Four of them in a week got a hold of me just out of the blue. I didn't push them or say anything, and they're contacting me, how do I get cold storage? What are you doing? I thought you were into stocks. And they're like, no, I'm getting out of it. So that's four TradFi guys in a week that have realized they don't want to hold MicroStrategy. All of them have MicroStrategy. And so you're not going for the stretch or the new one. And no, but what it's doing is it's convincing these guys it's not going to be made illegal. It's going to be used. And when they dig into it and done a little study, they realize they want to hold the coin. So in a way, it's bringing people into the space. Now, not everybody, but, you know, it's making some hodlers out of these guys.
Yeah, they must have heard Jim Cramer say it's the hedge. So.
Yeah, didn't Jim Cramer say that he was buying for his kids? I don't know if you guys saw that. Anyway, he's always a signal for a drop, but all good.
Jimmy, did they say they sold it all, or did they say that they are taking a portion of their allocation and putting it into cold storage?
Three of the four are basically taking percentages and starting to sack, and one of them is liquidating completely and getting out of the market because another partner of his did it 4 years ago and liquidated everything and went into Bitcoin. And his son works on this guy's team as a stockbroker, as a financial, you know, advisor, and he can't get his son into Bitcoin, even though his father has now, you know, 6x'd his entire net worth by being in Bitcoin, doing nothing but just holding it. And his son just doesn't quite get it. And it's so funny to watch this happen because the guy, the son, you know, the father's a boomer. And it's like me, you know, we get it. And people are like, how come you? Because we know the money's broke. But these kids still don't get it. The younger they are, it's harder for them to understand. But these guys that are calling me are 45, 50 years old. They've been in the markets for a long time and they've made good money. And most of them have made millions on MicroStrategy. They're getting out and they want to get the actual coin. And what's interesting is one of them, the guy I talked to yesterday, owns a family office for retirement advisor and literally works with it. And I'm talking to him about, well, there may be a Bitcoin annuity, and that just lit him up. He goes, that's right in my wheelhouse. I go, I know. See, there's some TradFi vehicles I think that are going to come that are going to be good, but there's going to be a lot of games played. And these guys know the games, but they're sick of them. These guys that work in the business, I don't know anybody that works in Wall Street that says it isn't corrupted and isn't a problem. Anybody that knows the game knows that it's manipulated and they don't like it, but they know how to play the game. But they're getting out. And it's really interesting to see because not a one of these guys, they all know I'm in Bitcoin. I don't push people. I hadn't talked to a couple of these guys for 6 months, maybe a year. And they got a hold of me and said, hey, can you help me with this? And what do you need? Well, I want to hold the coin and I want to get it off the exchange. I want to go into cold storage. So somewhere along the lines, they're waking up to the fact that the real asset is what they want.
Yeah, great insight there. I would add to it the regulatory clarity coming out of the Trump administration, versus the Biden administration is what's really producing a great deal of confidence in this decision to jump out of traditional or TradFi vehicles, stocks, bonds, even land and real estate to a certain extent, and into Bitcoin or these native, you know, native Bitcoin, even custody solutions that you see on River or Swan or OnRamp. I guess what I would say to that is I think what I'm seeing, I'm in the finance industry, have been my entire life. And in fact, straddling both the public finance side and also the private finance side with Wall Street, I manage a family office. We have an office in Dorado Beach, Puerto Rico. We have one in Utah. And the interesting thing that I'm seeing over and over is that with the regulatory clarity, there's a new kind of, I don't know, layer of awareness that comes out. You know, yesterday Wall Street Journal published something on Tether, USDC and stablecoins, and, you know, the SEC clarifications in terms of Bitcoin. All of these giant announcements unlock tremendous amount of new entrants into the system because they do have faith and confidence that it's being adopted and not going to be fought anymore. And it's not only happening in the United States, but it's happening on a worldwide basis. We just got some news out of Japan and some other countries on other continents in Asia and also Europe doing the same thing. So overall, and then with the success of IBIT or, you know, BlackRock's ETFs along with all the rest of the ETFs, this is what you're getting collectively is this solid background noise of, hey, like this thing is alive. And not only is it alive, but it's being fed right now. It's growing. And because of that, once they jump in, once they read more, like you're saying, Jimmy, they get to a certain point and they are ready to buy Bitcoin when they're ready to admit that they were wrong about Bitcoin.
Real quickly, I'll tell you, this guy yesterday told me, because I've known him for a while, and we've been talking about Bitcoin, and over a year ago we were talking, he was at $38,000 with $250,000 in cash, and he didn't buy because he didn't have that clarity. And yesterday he said, I don't feel that way anymore. I feel safe in doing it because I know the government isn't going to shut it down. It's not going to be pirate money. And so that's why he's like, yeah, I need to get into this. And he's like, I don't want to own stocks. I want to get into this for the sovereign reasons. And this is all four of them are realizing they've made good profits in fiat, but they don't trust the fiat. They don't trust the system. They work in the system. They know it's not to be trusted. And so here they are, guys that, you know, and this is where the distraction of shitcoins, I used to say every bull run with about 20% of the people that get in it for number go up, stick around for the revolution. Well, this is the same thing is happening with all these treasury companies. We have a treasury company in Mexico now. Now the contractor that works for me, two of them, they want Bitcoin. Because they understand the government's actually allowing it. They're not concerned anymore. Now is game on. And this is the year that I see a lot more of this where the TradFi guys, whether they're, if they're in hedge funds or they're doing, you know, retirement accounts, maybe they have to use stocks or ETFs in those accounts. But the people that run them and own them and they're on the board, they want the actual asset.
They're figuring it out. You're right, Jimmy. That's exactly right. That's exactly what's happening. The leaders, the heads, the very smartest board members in these arenas are the very ones that are reaching out to me personally and saying, hey, here's 6 bars of gold. I'm going to sell it. We're going to move this into this digital version of gold. I even see it on that level. Even physicals I see being sold into the Bitcoin space on an anecdotal level. Again, I couldn't agree with you more there, Jimmy.
100%. We just did exactly that at the little office that I help run, and it was silver, platinum, palladium. Get rid of it. Put it in Bitcoin.
Shout out to Texas's office.
BFP, is your hand still up?
Yeah, there? I had a quick point to dovetail with Jimmy's. It for me, and I'm assuming for most people, it's a one-way gate either. I mean, also, not either. Because you don't sell your self-custody Bitcoin to go buy Mr. or MSTR or Metaplanet or any of these. It's just stuff you have in other stocks. You sell that stock, you get in MSTR, and then when you realize, you know, oh, this is like digital cash or it's something, you know, when the more you go down the rabbit hole, the more you realize self-custody is by far the way to go and cold storage. But that was what I was saying. One way gate.
I sold a pension, a public pension. I was a city treasurer, for a number of years. And imagine the city treasurer. This is back in 17, actually. Imagine the city treasurer coming and saying, "Hey, I'd like to cash out my pension. What's the penalties for doing so?" I'd like, you know, and they're like, "What are you doing? What are you doing with it?" And I was like, "Well, I want to buy Bitcoin with it." And everybody thought I was just completely nutso crazy. But at the time I was looking for, 38 basis points on my $132 million portfolio for this particular city's tax dollars. So, you know, you guys, everybody pays taxes if you live in the United States, into a city municipal tax fund. You know, they have operations, they have capital calls, they also have infrastructure that they've got to keep going and then build new things, right? And as the job of the city treasurer, you're constantly making sure that there's sufficient liquidity for the budgetary items that were passed that year. And you also make sure that that liquidity comes out of the interest-bearing accounts and into the operational purchasing accounts at the right time, because you can maximize, you feel bad as a treasurer, you feel bad as a city. Here we are taxing these people, taking their money. And then if I was to just put it into a Wells Fargo account, just let it sit there, untaxpaying and getting eaten away by inflation with the hurdle rate, you get to this point. It's like, okay, what tools do I have to maximize, you know, $132 million, which, you know, may or may not be a lot of money in terms of where you guys are from. But for our little city, that's a big deal. And so at the time, 38 basis points to about 47 basis points was what I was trying to achieve. And here I was looking at gold, you're also limited into what you can invest in. It's like agency bonds, CDs, some precious metal, gold exposure, things that are not as volatile, right? Like from a regulatory standpoint, the state of Utah dictates what you can and can't do. And most treasurers live under that type of mandate. And so the interesting thing is you're very limited. And so I was looking at gold and specifically gold and silver, precious metals, because of their qualities. And that's where when I really dug in and found out about Bitcoin and understood its properties of scarcity. And that's when it changed everything. So again, that's when all of a sudden things flip on its head. So back to, you know, the speaker's point about, you know, this is just extra money that these people have in their 401k in random stocks. And, they learn about Bitcoin. They say, okay, what stocks like Bitcoin? I'm going to move my money over to, you know, MSTR. I'm going to move it to Metaplanet, et cetera. And then from there, you know, you start analyzing. So it's like, wow, I can take a 10% hit on this, or I can take a penalty of 15% or something like that. I could extract my money from the U.S. government and take out this money. And if you have conviction and you have a degree of hodling more than one cycle, and you have some stability in your ability to stay dedicated to this asset and not sell, you know, you're not going to beat the Bitcoin's, 4-year average CAGR of, 45, 47%. If you go back 10 years, The compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, for Bitcoin is closer to 80%. Like, you are not going to beat that history, that incredible compound annual interest rate. And so, you know, these small penalties up front, you know, early withdrawal penalties or pension withdrawal penalties or these types of things, in the moment, people look at you like you're crazy, like you're insane or whatever. But I'm telling you, that was one of the best things that I ever did in my lifetime. And, you know, I didn't realize how much it would play out. But overall, I'm just trying to synthesize all these points from Jimmy and from others that, you know, Bitcoin really does offer an incredible return. MSTR and these other projects and these other types of assets and these instruments that especially Michael Saylor, is creating, they do have specific use cases, and they're like tools in a toolbox for financial wealth advisors or financial engineers. So, with that, I've talked too much. I'm going to bounce from off this stage, but, appreciate this, space. It's actually a pleasant space to listen to over the last little while. Thanks so much.
Yeah. After you leave and can't speak anymore, then I'm going to get mean. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks for all of that.
Sorry about that, Bob.
No, that's great stuff. And quit calling me such a nice guy. We're gonna get Texas Toast on you, and he's gonna say some mean things. No, I'm just kidding. So I think, I mean, this is really good. I'll push back on a couple of things. I think a lot of what you guys are talking about is true. And I think there's just different layers of it, right? And so like my point would be that institutional players know what the problem is. And some of them have the solution of Bitcoin. And there's no question that Strategy and all of these derivatives that they've created in their stack are giving people exposure, or at least, you know, some people are starting to come around to it. But independent financial advisors, the smaller guys, are really not paying attention to this. Most don't understand the hurdle rate of Bitcoin and what they're trying to beat. They don't understand the hurdle rate of, you know, the 60-40 portfolio is still alive and well. And these guys are not helping their clients necessarily as a whole move into other other assets like Bitcoin. They can't, number one. Number two, they're more salespeople than they are, you know, actually investment advisors. And I don't want to put the whole lot of them in there, but most of them, I would say the bulk of them, are comfortable just collecting their 1-2% fee and not doing anything risky. So I'll say, like, I agree with you guys that some of the bigger players are starting to notice, especially people who traditionally go out on the risk scale further, like hedge funds. But from the standpoint of the independent financial advisors, where a lot of people are housing their wealth, besides, you know, if they have more than what equity that they built up in their home, these independent financial advisors, again, most of them are not doing the best for their clients and not paying attention to these individual stocks, MicroStrategy included, and also Bitcoin. So I think there's a lot of work to do, and I just wanted to point that out because I talk to a lot of financial advisors and a lot of them are blindsided. Like, it's crazy when you talk to them about the performance of bonds and how they don't really understand it. Why? Because they've handed it off to companies that are indexing different bond instruments for their clients, and they just don't even think about it. It's like, oh, here's the equation. Here's how I get paid, and no reason to go outside this and take risk and lose clients. So I'll stop my rant there. But Jimmy, is your hand still up? Do you want to argue?
Yeah, just a comment on that. Well, the comment on what you just said, I agree with you. While this is happening, the difference between these guys and just everybody else is all four of these guys, in fact, everybody I know that's in the TradFi, these guys aren't wealth builders. They've already got their wealth. This guy even said, he goes, I don't want to hold the melting ice cube anymore. I'm sitting on a shitload of cash and it's ridiculous. It just, real estate isn't doing it. This isn't doing that. And so it's not. And I go, are you going to recommend it to your clients? He goes, hell no, I can't do that. I can recommend an annuity. I can recommend an ETF, but I'm not recommending cold storage to anybody. You know, he goes, privately, I would tell them, but as a financial advisor, they don't feel comfortable with that yet. So you're right. They're not, many of them are not even looking at it. The ones that I find are doing this are the ones that have already got their capital. They've already earned a shitload of money. They have their wealth. They just don't want to have to keep working. They want to retire. They want to be able to quit and not see their money just melt away. So that's one of the big ones. And while we were talking, and this has been going on, I got a text from one of them. He's got a Jade and a gold card on the way. So these guys are serious. They're really moving. And he asked me, because he was using Coinbase. Now, I don't trade in the States. I don't buy any, you know, coin up there anymore. I never use the exchanges much. What I was going to ask, guys, is to get him off of Coinbase, I recommend he look at River and he look at, I don't know if Unchained Capital sells Bitcoin, but I was curious if there's, other than River, you guys still use Swan? Do you believe there's others? I'm just trying to get him not to use Coinbase. He is going to buy it through his bank account linked to it. So if any of you have better suggestions for an exchange, I'm open to it.
Unchained does sell Bitcoin, but it's a pain in the ass with wire transfers. They're supposed to be coming out with ACH soon, so I haven't used it in a long time. But I know they do. You just have to wire it in.
Yeah, I'll say I send people to River all the time, have a loose partnership with those guys. What I'll tell you is that they have the best customer service. So if you're looking for that white glove approach, you have anything complex or any questions, most of these companies are, well, I shouldn't say this, but it's like Coinbase, for example, is just a behemoth. And the issue is they have maybe too many clients. And so it's hard to get a straight answer. If you have a nuanced question, it's very difficult. So I've been a big fan of River. They've actually helped some of our listeners who have reached out to us, either me directly in DMs or through BitcoinVeterans.org. And we've been able to reach out to contacts that we have at River, and they've been able to solve problems. So
that's what they're after. Thanks. That's exactly why I told them River over any of the others, because I thought they had the best customer service from what my friends have told me. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And if you're, you know, you're buying large amounts, you know, maybe you're paying a little bit of a premium, but for a lot of people, it's worth the cost to do that. I do think, you know, there are cheaper options than River, but again, you get what you pay for, just like anything in life. And so I think people just have to assess. There's plenty of good exchanges doing good work in the space. So don't mean to pimp River or Unchained or anyone else too much, but I do like, I've had personal and business experience with River, and I think they're top notch because of their customer service. So yeah, guys, hey, we're rounding out the show here. We got an hour almost in, and this has been a great discussion, I think, for Hump Day. Hopefully you guys have all enjoyed it. Want to go around the horn and see if we can hear from AC again, any final closing thoughts, and then we'll go to Texas, then BFP, and then round it out with Jimmy before we close up for today.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. You know, I took the opportunity to not open my mouth this time. I think the conversation was great, revolving around, you know, different things. For people in the echo chamber, I think there is really only one answer, and that's Bitcoin in self-custody, air-gapped, cold storage. But the one thing that I do want to key in on is that, you know, these instruments that Strategy has come out with recently, I put an image in the nest and in the comments, is not targeting us within the echo chamber, because we know how this game is going to play out. This is speaking the language to TradFi to target those pools of trapped capital in a language that they speak and in a format that they understand. And really, Bitcoiners are the beneficiaries of that, because all it does is it transmutes fiat into Bitcoin through MicroStrategy. And the longer that that takes place, the better it is for Bitcoiners. And ultimately, it is better for society as not just number go up, but freedom go up. But I think everyone had pretty much good takes, solid takes, especially and I forget his name, the guy who came up on stage earlier. And so, yeah, I think ultimately.
Hodling Love. Let's give him credit. Hodling Love, because he thinks I'm going to be mean. Love.
There you go. Yeah. Ultimately, everything is good for Bitcoin. Some of these other, you know, I call them nanocap Bitcoin treasury companies, I think some of them are probably going to fail. They look good on paper now, and Bob, you kind of alluded to it. You know, people are chasing some of these smaller nanocap Bitcoin treasury companies for the gains, and it gives me some of those ICO feels as people are rotating in and out of the latest, next and greatest, shiniest, whatever toy is out there. And so people are going to get wrecked. And so like I started off with, you know, Bitcoin only, air gap, self-custody is the most ideal way to go. Thanks.
Yes, learn from previous mistakes. Texas Toast, final words, my friend.
Ditto. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, BFP, Matrix Birds, let's go.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I just want to say, if you have all your money in a traditional TradFi like MSTR or one of those, start putting at least a percentage in your cold storage so you understand the difference and don't just, you know, rest on your laurels and think it's all going to be hunky-dory, because you do have third-party risk when you have a stock, because you do have to cash that out into actual cash. So that's just my two cents.
Yeah. How deep is the liquidity, right? Jimmy, what's up? Well, ask the comments. Thanks again for coming up a couple of times here with your truck problems.
Oh, thanks for having the space. You guys are great and educate me a lot. Yeah, I just say basically appreciate what you've got. Be grateful that you're in the space this early, because it is early, and it's just an awesome thing to be. It's a filter, and all you people in this space are absolutely awesome, and appreciate it, and huddle on because it's so worth it. And yeah, welcome to the new world.
Yeah, thanks for that. I do want to say that I am thankful again to Elon and the X staff for making it so we don't have to reboot a pre-scheduled space today. but guys, we do this every morning as long as they let us, 10 a.m. Eastern. So please do join us tomorrow. We'll try to put out a pre-scheduled space that hopefully it will again work tomorrow. But yeah, as you guys can tell, we like to keep it light, joke around, but discuss some of these topics and just hang out. So thanks for joining us. We're rooting for you. If you need help, please visit bitcoinveterans.org. Throw your information in there. We'll get you plugged into valuable resources to help you on your journey. You can also reach out to most of us on the stage, and we will help you in DMs as well. But that's all we have for today. And once again, I have to remind you guys, please do not shitcoin. It's just bad for you.
People that use fiat currency as a store of value, we call them poor. We call them poor.